What a beautiful sight it will be when Jesus Christ touches his hand to us and say, "Welcome home, my child." So many people get so attached to this world, and because they get attached to it, they think this is the ultimate and this is it, but this is not the end. Not the end. This is just a preparation room for eternity. The Bible says your life is like a vapor. It's here and it's gone. It's like the shadow. And it's temporary. This dwelling here is just a temporary dwelling place. And we're here this morning preparing for another life. And I'm going to talk about preparation this morning. Preparation. If you have your Bible, I'd like to read one verse of Scripture at the beginning. Then we'll let you be seated. The book of Luke, chapter number 11. I feel a tremendous touch of God in this room right now. And I would want you to open your heart as I open the Word of the Lord and try to teach you a Bible lesson this morning. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when Jesus ceased, One of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when Jesus ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And you may be seated. If you have a Bible, I'd like for you to follow along with me. You can turn with me to the book of St. Matthew chapter 6 and just keep your Bible open to that particular portion of Scripture, beginning with verse number 5. My subject to you this morning, and I will try to keep from getting in any hurry, and I'll try to get through before you do. If you'll give me about 30 or 40 minutes, I would like to share with you a subject called The Science of Prevailing Prayer. The Science of Prevailing Prayer. We could say the chemistry of prayer. And I know it is a very familiar subject, and I'm not an authority on prayer. I do not claim to be the greatest prayer warrior. I have many areas that I need to improve in, and one of the areas is that of prayer. And I want to share with you my burden this morning on the chemistry of prayer. The greatest question in all the world that the disciples asked Jesus while he was here on earth was, "Lord, teach us to pray." Do we have some reverb? "Lord, teach us to pray." The power of prayer can move heaven. I said the power of prayer can move heaven. The power of preaching moves men. The disciples did not ask Jesus, "Lord, teach us to preach, to teach." But they asked the greatest question that could have been asked by his disciples. "Lord, teach us to pray." Men can go to Bible school. Men can sit on a great men and become great preachers and great orators. But only Jesus can teach us how to pray. I can't teach you this morning how to pray. All I can tell you the value of prayer. And I can tell you that you need to pray. But I cannot teach you how to pray. Jesus, the teacher of all teachers, is the only one that can teach you how to pray. And I will hope and pray this morning after I conclude my Bible lesson that we can have great men and women that can rise to the occasion and become great masters of the art of praying. Preaching becomes powerless unless a man knows how to pray. There's a lot of men filling pulpits this morning, but I doubt they prayed 5 minutes before they went behind the sacred desk. They will be men that will speak with the most excellent of speech, but their words will fall as dead words on men's ears because there is no anointing. There is no power behind the preaching. For a man to preach anointed, for a man to preach under the power of the Almighty God, first of all, he's got to learn how to pray. Prayer is not only the gift for the preacher, but prayer is a gift that everybody can have. It's the gift and privilege of every Christian. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint, not just preachers. But men should always pray and not to faint. Everybody is not called to pastor a church. Everybody is not called to preach. Everybody is not called to teach. Everybody is not called to be an evangelist. But every person under the sound of my voice this morning has been called of Jesus to pray. To pray. He said, pray without ceasing. The power of prayer is the power which is least exercised by the average believer. I would probably, if I would, could get an honest showing of hands. The majority of you that are sitting here this morning, due to your schedule and to heavy activity, many of you have not prayed very much this week. But what bothers me when I see men and women who come to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night, but they don't have a prayer life. No prayer life. We cannot please God without knowing how to pray. I want to talk about the pattern of prayer for a little bit. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of St. Matthew, chapter 6. I'll begin reading at verse number 5. And when thou prayest, Jesus said, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Before Jesus gave the prayer that we call the prayer of Jesus, the model prayer, Jesus starts out with the negative. He starts out with the do's and the don'ts of prayer. In verse 9 to verse 11, he concludes with what to pray and how to pray. We have Bible schools scattered over our country, but I dare say that not one Bible school, including the apostolic, teach a lesson on the art of praying. They may teach lessons on the Greek, the Hebrew, church history, homiletics, Bible doctrine, even music, but I dare say not one has a course on the art of prevailing prayer. The greatest need in all the world for you and I, for every man and every woman, is to understand and have an understanding of the art of praying. We are living in a prayerless society. We hear prayers in church. We hear prayers at social gatherings. But I wonder how many prayers are really going forth in the closets of men and women that are at home. Praise God. I wonder where is the department that teaches the science of prevailing prayer? The negative teaching on prayer. Verse 5, Jesus said, don't pray like a hypocrite. Hypocrites like to pray in public a lot of times. It was in Jesus' day. They left to pray in the synagogue, he said, and also on the street corners. And they pray for one reason, he said in verse 5, and that was to be seen of men. They stand up in prominent places and pray. I have been to different gatherings of all types, and I've heard men pray beautiful prayers. I'm talking about it was wonderful. But you could tell that it was coming from the intellect and not from the heart. Jesus was not impressed with public praying to the Pharisee that went to the temple. The Bible said he stood and prayed. He thanked the Lord for all of his goodness. But I can see the poor publican. The Bible says he lift not his head toward heaven, but in a statement, he beat on his breast and he cried. And he said, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. God is not impressed with beautiful prayers, but he is impressed when it comes from the inward man. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Matthew 23:14, Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, he said, woe unto you hypocrites. The word hypocrites means actors. Actors under a false pretense. For ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense you make long prayers. Therefore, he said to the hypocrite, ye shall receive the greater damnation. Amen. There is a good rule. Not necessarily all the time, but we could say, the longer a man prays in public, the less he prays in private. Look at the New Testament. Look at the Word of God. Very few prayers are recorded. Much is said about prayer, but very few are recorded. The prayer of Jesus. He was a man that prayed. The Bible said he was a man of great prayer. He prayed all night, many nights. But you can't find Jesus praying long prayers in public. When they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray, he gave them the model prayer, but it only lasted about 30 seconds. Jesus was not there to impress the public, to impress the crowd. He wants us as men of God, Brother Bourne, to preach to people. Not pray to people, but preach to people. But he wants the people to pray to him. You don't pray to men, but you pray to God. Prayer is your communication with Jesus Christ. The longest prayer that was ever recorded that Jesus prayed in public was just before he went away, just before he ascended to heaven. And if there was ever a need for a prayer, it was needful, but Jesus still refused to pray it in public. He prayed it with only his 12 disciples. You can read it in John chapter 17, and you can read that prayer, and it takes only about 2.5 minutes to pray. But it wasn't the length of prayer, but it was the content of the prayer. I said it was the content of the prayer. Quality prayer, not quantity prayer. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Verse 6. But thou, when thy prayest, Jesus said, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. Pray to our Father, which is in secret. We are commanded to preach and not to pray in public. He has said, enter into your closet. No one has to know about your private prayer. It's nothing like going into a prayer room all by yourself. Now, I like praying with other men and ladies at times. This past Monday night, a week ago, it was one of the most beautiful times of prayer that I've been in a long time. We called just a church prayer meeting. No public speaking, nobody more or less taking the show, but we just came with lights dim low, and the Holy Ghost moved in this place. We didn't make an announcement to the city and to the world, but we just felt the need as a church to walk into the closet of the prayer. And the Holy Ghost came and ministered to many that were here. He said in verse 7, don't pray with vain repetition. But when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. For he's saying, stereotype prayers don't impress me at all. When we come to God, we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's not impressed with beautiful words of vain repetition, but it's just you and God. in God. He knows you're in His man. He knows more about you than you know yourself. And when you come to Him and you close in a prayer, you can just open yourself up and say, "Here I am, God. I'm not here to impress anybody. I want to impress You. I need to hear from You. I need a touch from the Almighty from on high." And when you enter into your closet of prayer, that's quality time. That's the greatest time that you can spend in all the world. It's more precious than service time. It's more precious than pre-K. It's more precious than recreation. As you and God, He, Paul said, "I'll pray and with my understanding, but there will come a time," Paul said, "I'll pray with my spirit." Praying with the Spirit, you're not speaking unto man, but you're speaking unto God. Let's look at the elements of prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9, he says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The element, he was not speaking of the structure of prayer when he said, "After this manner." I said he was not speaking. He was speaking of the structure of the prayer and not repeating what he was saying. The prayer that Jesus prayed is the pattern for your life. That 30-second prayer, if you would read verse 9 through about verse 13, it covers the whole scope of life, and it covers every need that the spirit and the soul and the body have. The three elements of prayer, number one, and I want to speak about it just a moment. Number one, it's communion. Number two, it's petition. And number three is intercession. The three elements of prayer, we could say, it's the three looks of prayer. Communion is the outlook, you looking to God. Petition is the inlook, that's you looking at yourself and then asking God to help you. It's sad to say, but most of our prayers are petition prayers. I would say 95% of all prayers are petition prayers. Then comes the intercession prayer, or the outlook, you looking on others. First of all, Brother Dearman, we got to look to God. That's communion prayer. The second thing, we got to look at ourselves. That's petition prayer. And the third thing, we got to look to others. That's the prayer of intercession. Communion is the first requirement. Without communion, there can be no answer to our petition and no power in our intercession. We like to bypass the communion prayer. But until we can understand and until we can put into practice communion prayer, we cannot put into effect the petition prayer and also the prayer of intercession. And I want to expound upon communion prayer. Communion is that part of prayer which removes every hindrance between God and ourselves. Communion. It removes every hindrance. In communion, and I'm speaking of communion with Him, an open line of communication. If we can pray the communion prayers, we subordinate all of our personal petitions to His will and His will alone. Let me read that again. I said, if we pray a communion prayer, you getting along with God, if you really pray a communion prayer, you subordinate all of your personal petitions to the will of God. We like our will to be done. We want to do it our way. And that's the reason we don't get our petition prayers answered. Is because we're selfish in our prayer. But until we can establish communion with Him, until we can establish that, God, whatever Your will is, I want my will to conform to Your will. He said, my ways are so far above your ways. My thoughts are so far above your thoughts. And unless we know how to commune with God, unless we can subordinate ourselves to the will of God, don't try to get your petition prayers answered, for many times He will not answer petition prayers. Amen. Communion prayer, it establishes the contact so that our petition prayers can reach Him and our intercession can be heard and answered by God. Contact. There's a lot of lines broken down this morning. We got beautiful lights in here, air conditioning in here. Thank God for it. But it's because there's a line that is here that is running from this building to some big generator. And it's open. And it's producing electricity to this building so that we can enjoy the comfort of life. A flow from the source to the recipient. Communion prayer. It clears the line. If the line has been severed, if the line has been broken down, communion prayer repairs the broken line of communication. And then, when the line has been repaired, and we are in complete harmony and communion with God, we subordinate ourselves to the will of God. Communion is the line that connects the soul of a man to the heart of God. If the line is broken, no communication. Another word for communion prayer, Brother Bourne, is worship. Real worship. I'm not speaking of praise. But real worship from the soul of a man to the heart of God. And if we are a worshiper of Jesus Christ, we are willing to subordinate to the will of God. The order of the first five books of the New Testament, called the Pentateuch. We can look at the book of Genesis, and it teaches us about man and the fall of man, the sin and the ruin of man. Then we can go to Exodus, and in the book of Exodus, God gives us His redemption plan by blood. Following sin, following the redemption plan, comes the book of Leviticus, and the book of Leviticus is a book about worship. We can't worship until the blood has been applied. Until contact has been made from the heart of a man to the heart of God. The fourth book is the book of Numbers, and that is called the book of Israel's work. Walk from Egypt to Canaan. They left Egypt on the way to Canaan. Until we establish the prayer of communion, we don't know how to walk with Jesus Christ. I said, until you establish a communion prayer with Him, you don't know how to walk. But Israel had to learn how to walk. And it was brought about by communion. It was brought about by a worshiper, and his name was Moses. Then we can go to the book of Deuteronomy, the book of the law, or the book of works. Faith without works is dead until we establish communion. We cannot establish our walk with God. But when we establish communion and we establish our walk with God, then we can work for the kingdom of God and we can become an intercessor and we can touch this world. It don't happen any other way. Sin first, redemption second, communion third, walking with Him fourth, and then touching others. This is God's order. This is God's order. Here's our problem. We want to work for God. And thank God for working. We've got some in this place. Amen. One of the greatest churches I've ever been associated with. Not because I'm your pastor. I'm thankful that I am. But we've got people that we could classify them as workaholics. If we need somebody, they've been out there with him. And they have exemplified that this year. And years gone by. But there was a time that Jesus, he was needing to be ministered to. And he had a friend in Bethany. And his name was Lazarus. And while he was visiting there, it wasn't long until Jesus was going to depart. And the Bible says that there was a little lady by the name of Mary, the brother of Lazarus. She came to Jesus and she sat at his feet. She began to minister unto him. She began to commune with him. It was not in word alone, but as I can see Jesus speaking to his disciples and to his friend Lazarus, I can see a young lady who is at his feet, washing his feet with her tears, bathing his feet with oil. And there was another sister by the name of Martha. The Bible says she was a worker also. And while Mary was communing with God, Martha was preparing a meal. She was taking care of the chores. She wanted everything to be just right. For Jesus had come possibly to dine there and to have a beautiful meal. Martha was the one that everything had to be just right. The plates had to be set just right. The silverware had to be in its proper place. She refused to let anything be out of order. And I can see Martha busy. And she was busy for Jesus. She wanted everything right for him. She was trying to make an impression with the Lord, I'm sure. And it's getting close to 12 o'clock now. And everything wasn't ready. And Martha, I can see her getting nervous. Wondering, oh, I'm going to make it. And she walks through the kitchen door and the dining area, and she sees Mary, her sister, at the feet of Jesus. And that was all she could take. She was so upset. And she came to the Lord, and she said, Lord, I need help. She wanted the Lord to rebuke Mary. She wanted the Lord to tell Mary, hey, get up and go help Martha. I'm hungry. We need to prepare a meal. I need some help. I'm running out of time. But when Martha spoke to the Lord refused to rebuke Mary. And he said to Martha, he said, Martha, why are you so cumbered about all of this that don't matter a whole lot? Said Mary, she's desired the good part. And what Mary has done, she's done it unto me. Leave her alone. Jesus was needing that, but also Mary was needing that. I'm afraid so many times we can get so busy doing the work of God, trying to do it right, and we bypass the cross of the prayer. And what Jesus, all he's saying, come dine with me. Come commune with me. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, this building won't bring people to this church to find God. No, no, no. That recreational facility next door won't bring people to this church to find God. Somewhere, contact's got to be made. And that contact is communion. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He's got a name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess. Before we can petition God, we've got to establish communion with him. We'll have to sit at his feet and have quality time with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would Lord, it won't happen no other way. You get busy, pay your tithes, be faithful to church, but don't pray. You'll become a carnal man. You'll become a man that is controlled by the intellect. But that will not please God. We got to be controlled by the inward man, and God has got to control that spirit and that man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sometimes all he wants is to spend some time with you. But we're so busy. Give me, Lord. Give me, Lord. I need this, God. Supply this, Lord. And every time we come to pray, no communion is established for the being. But it's give me. And our prayer time is consumed with giving. I got two boys, age 19 and 10. But every time I saw them coming to me, and I knew that when they made contact with me, it was always, Dad, I need this. Dad, I need that. Dad, give me this. Dad, give me that. But you know what would happen? I'd almost get to where I wouldn't want to see him coming. So it's always give me. But sometimes it does me so much good, and I know it does you as a parent. That child will come around and put his arms around me and love me and say, I just want you to know I love you. I appreciate you. The things that you have given me, Dad, I don't want them saying. I just want to tell you how much I love you. How much I appreciate what you have done. And our problem this morning is our prayers have been consumed by petition prayer. And the communion line has been broken. And Jesus is up there, and his ear, he's got earplugs in, because when he sees you coming, it's always, Lord, give me this. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. And he's up there with a weeping soul today. Amen. He's saying, come and dine. I want to dine with you. I want to have a relationship with you. You know, it's possible to live a life that is almost Christ-like, but never pray. You can do it strictly on self-discipline, but that's not having fellowship and relationship with a master. Husband and wife, there must be communion. The church is the bride of Christ. There's got to be communion. Without it, the marriage will fall apart. And without communion from this church, hours that are spent in the closet of prayer, not saying one thing for the petition prayer, but, oh God, give me some time. I just want to love you this morning. I just want to thank you this morning. I could say, and many of you could say, if God never answered another prayer for me, I could not complain, because he has been so good to me. He's given me health and strength. He's given me a beautiful family, a car to ride in, a house to live in, a church to pastor. What more could I ask? Oh, God, help us. So we're so somehow consumed with selfish things, things for self. Lord, I want this. God, I want this. Praise God. Paul said, men always ought to always pray and not faint. Pray without ceasing. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Not given, but done. Done. There's a lot of difference between done unto you and given unto you. Some things we can't handle. Some things we don't need. But he said, if you'll commune with me, if the line of communication is open, you can ask. The reason our prayers are not answered, the communion line has been severed. And we bring our petition and you come to me, why don't God do this? Why don't God do that? And the answer to it all is the communion line has been severed. The word, the Bible is true. Jesus didn't tell a lie.
He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Or in other words, it be done to us and not in us. The important question is not what does prayer get for me, but what does prayer do for me? Amen. Amen. It's 11:30 and I need to come to a close. And I'm not free. Second element. After communion has been established, only then do you have a right to bring a petition. Because if communion is not established, it won't do you any good to bring a petition. But the Lord's Prayer, he said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Communion. Then we can say, give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our debts. And forgive, and we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We can ask anything according to the will of God, and it will be given to us. But some things are not the will of God. I said some things are not the will of God. But by establishing communion, you subordinate yourself. You subject yourself to the will of the Father. When Jesus was in the garden, he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. He could have called 10,000 angels. Yes, he had the power to call 10,000 angels. But Jesus subordinated his will to the will of the Father. And he said, Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. They come to the music. Number one, unconfessed known sin. I said unconfessed known sin. If you can pray, cannot be answered. If you're pardoning sin, the writer says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, what will happen? The Lord will not hear me. Number two, unforgiving spirit. It's very easy to have an unforgiving spirit. But if you got an unforgiving spirit, you can keep in prayer every one of you. He said in verse 23, therefore, if I bring thy gift to the altar, and you remember that thy brother has aught against you. He said, come on to the altar. Come here. He said, you leave your gift. You leave that altar and you see a picture of one thing. And he said, then you go to that brother and ask him to be reconciled to that brother. Then one gift to God. Can you say for me, if you've got an unforgiving sin, first of all, God won't forgive you. You'll be judged by what you judge other people by. if you have an unforgiving spirit, but this prayer is going to be answered. And there are times that there's some things we can do for ourselves, Brother Burley. Those things that we can do for ourselves, God will not do. I said, some things we can do for ourselves. You will not answer a petition prayer that which you can do for yourself. Lazarus was dead in the grave. And the Bible says that Jesus came and he wept. And he prayed. But there was one requirement. He said to the disciples, roll away the stone. They had to roll away the stone. That's too good, that thing. But no, the disciples could do that. He said, disciples, he rolled away the stone. And when they rolled away the stone, Jesus called out from the dead. Something we got to do for us. Save the sinner, Lord. Save the sinner, Lord. Send people to our church. But then we read Savior with them every day and we didn't invite them to come to church. He won't answer that prayer because he doesn't invite us. We don't invite them. But then we don't give mission offering to help that missionary family. Your petition prayers will not be answered. The farmer takes the crop. Give me a good crop. But some things the farmer's got to do for himself. He's got to do something for himself. Give me a good crop. But that farmer's got to plant the seed. He's got to lay it down. He's got to fertilize it. He's got to take care of it, but he's got to have it. Some things he's got to do for it. And if it is God's will, if it is God's will, you do not have to cry, weep, fret, worry, become frustrated. If you commune with him, and it's the will of God, and when you got a petition, all you have to do, Brother Dearman, is just say, how many got a lost loved one here today? How many would like to see that lost loved one saved? Do you know it's the will of God? It's the will of God. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save and seek to save. So what would we do? What must we do? Establish the will. And then say, God, I want to see that brother say, and then start thanking him. Thanking him. Praying to him. Giving him faith. Giving him praise. Giving him faith. Giving him praise. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. If it's the will of God and communion with the Spirit, it's coming. I must come to a point. I'm not very sure. But it's good. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Prayer is not a matter of forcing God to do things for us, but rather it's coming to God in absolute faith that what we need, not what we want, but what we need, we have been given to us in answer to our prayer. The Father gives only what we need or what's good for us. Some things are not good. To your child, he was defined in the medicine cabinet a bottle of pills. He's come to you and say, I want to take these pills. He is a heavenly father, an earthly father, would say, oh no, son, you can't. I want that bottle and I want them pills. The heavenly father would say, no, no, no way, no way. The child would start crying. He would get all upset. But if you, the earthly father, you love that child, it made no difference how much he wept, how much he prayed, how much he died. You say amen. Amen. That's the reason we don't need to worry and fret and cry and beg and plead. We don't have to beg God. I say we don't have to beg God for our petition. No, 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 no. It shall be communion. You're real, God. You're real, God. And when communion has been established, petition can be prayed. And if God is in it, it's His will. If we don't ask for it, it's still His will. And we're going to support Him in the last chapter. How many have been trying to force God? You can't force Him. He's a common God. He knows all about you. How many times we have problems with each other? We take things into our own hands. We try to force some things. Attitudes are involved. Spirits are involved. But if you ever take it into your own hands, you think you make a mess of it. And I promise you, whatever the personality of Christ, whatever the problem may be, if you establish the command of God, please. Hey, I want to be saved. You don't have to worry about what man thinks. Put it in the hands of God. If they got a problem, let it be their problem. Don't let it become your problem. If they don't like you, love them. Let that be their problem. But that's communion. 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 Every head down, every eye. We gotta go. You think we gotta quit? You think we gotta make it happen? that God can do more in 5 seconds than we can do in a lifetime. Do that. You just take a little time. Mm-hmm. He's on that journey. He's on the mission. His name. There is no other name on the coming day among men whereby we must. He can travel around the world this very moment that could be a missionary in trouble. But I believe through the power of prayer, we can intercede. We can pray the intercessory prayer. God can come on the scene. Remove the mountain. Take care of the fire. Hallelujah. Can we just take time out right now and lift our hands? Ask the Lord to take him in the name and pardon him. This
Oh, You play together, strong your strength in you, and help you to be more than you.